Now, looking at Islam today, what lessons can we draw from Islamic history? It seems really very clear that when Islam presents itself as a force of tolerance and a force of intellectual enlightenment, it succeeds. So we have to ask a very basic question today. Why is Islam in the not very good or sorry state that it's in today? And this is debated throughout the Islamic world, but there's no question that Islam is not in good shape today. There's no question about it. I mean, the planet is not in good shape, so I don't want to say Islam is in good shape and Christianity is in great shape. The whole planet is not in good shape. But Islam is not in good shape today. Part of the problem is the attacks by Anglo-American imperialism, culminating in the really diabolical and despicable Lawrence of Arabia in World War I, who tricked the Arabs and misled the Arabs into believing that if they bled and died to fight the Turks, they would get a homeland. This was a lie from the get-go. It was a lie from the get-go. And the end result of World War I was really probably the low point of Islam in world history. The Western powers forced Turkey to give up the caliphate. That was destroyed. And then, contrary to their promises, they seized control of Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, and Jordan. And then, to make sure they really ticked off the local Arab populations, they established a home for European Jews fleeing all the religious lunacy in Europe in Palestine. The latter point was a great tragedy because Islam has had a long history of tolerance for Judaism and serving as a refuge for the virulently anti and murderous anti-Semitic campaigns that have been such a feature of European history. For instance, Ferdinand and Isabella, the financiers of Columbus, conducted one of the most murderous campaign against the Jews in world history prior to the Holocaust, and forced out 100,000 Jews from Spain. They largely went to the Muslim world where they were accepted and so on and so forth. So the combination of the betrayal of Lawrence of Arabia and the establishment without any consultation of a home for Jewish people on Arab territory, this led to a huge amount of hostility towards the Jewish people, which has continued to this day. But that has also created problems with the Arabs' relationship with the West. Now, after World War II, the chains of colonialism began to be broken because the Western powers had kind of bled themselves white. And England basically self-destructed as an empire, and so on. But colonialism all too often was replaced by neo-colonialism, and that wasn't a terribly positive situation. The Arabs were able to play off the Cold War of the West vs. the Soviet Union and gain some advantage from that. In the Arab world, there was a struggle for leadership between, shall we say, secular nationalism represented by Nasser and religious Islam represented by Saudi Arabia. They even came to blows in a struggle for the control of Yemen, which is where a good part of the Egyptian troops were in 1967. The 1967 war was just a cataclysmic disaster for secular nationalism in the Arab world, from which it really never recovered. And it moved the center of gravity of the Arab world from Egypt to Saudi Arabia. The 1973 Middle East War was another giant earthquake in the history of the Middle East. It cemented Saudi Arabia's leadership of the Muslim world. The Saudi Arabian oil embargo and the huge rise in the price of oil and the nationalization of Western oil concessions throughout the Islamic world led to a huge rise in Muslim petro power. It is not an accident that real wages in the United States peaked in 1973. The cheap oil empire of the post-war period collapsed. It collapsed. Inside America, the 1973 war would have tremendous consequences. America's enormously powerful Jewish lobby would start to see the Arabs, they weren't very popular anyway, but they would start to see the alliance of the Arabs and the Soviet Union as an existential threat to the survival of Jews, equal to the Nazi threat in the 1940s. For a while in 73, it almost looked like Israel was about to be wiped out. This would cause key parts of the American Jewish community to switch to the right and support a huge increase in American military power. And this would culminate in the election of Ronald Reagan to the presidency of the United States. As time went on, the power of Saudi Arabia would grow, but another event occurred, which is probably one of the biggest disasters in the history of Islam, which is the Iranian Revolution of 1979, where a bigoted lunatic called Ayatollah Khomeini set up a oppressive, backward, totalitarian state and claimed it was Islam. Now, his appeal to the whole Islamic world was limited because this was based on the Shiite version of Islam, which is very much a minority version of modern Islam. But it set the stage for a whole new wave of intolerance and persecution and so on and so forth. Saudi Arabia, particularly after the incredibly bizarre siege of Mecca itself, shifted to a more oppressive position and so on. Now, 9/11 further damaged the position of Islam in terms of the West. And in our time, we've had a further series of disasters that really haven't helped Islam. The emergence of Mohammed bin Salman as the dictator of Saudi Arabia, MBS as he's called, has had some positive things in terms of controlling the religious nutcases, but in terms of the image of Saudi Arabia in the world and to a certain extent at home among certain people has been no, nothing short of a total disaster. The murder of Mr. Khashoggi, in terms of the people slaughtered by MBS, is a rather small event, but public relations-wise, it was a mega event to have murdered a dissident in the Saudi embassy in Turkey and have the murder recorded and played back to the world by Turkey's secret police and so on and so forth, as well as MBS's decision to embrace Mr. Donald Trump, has really not been helpful for Saudi Arabia's image in the world and the image of Islam. And so that's just a fact. And it doesn't mean we condemn everybody in Saudi Arabia or we condemn everything that MBS did, but overall, this has not been a plus. So where does Islam go from here? All right. I think we just need to come to terms with some basic facts. When Islam has presented itself as a tolerant force, when Islam has presented itself as a force of intellectual enlightenment, it has succeeded. There is no way the two dominant forces in Islam today, the government in Tehran and the government in Saudi Arabia, there's no way to put a pretty face on this one. These are very intolerant countries, and it is very difficult to see these countries as being a center of gravity for global Islam, expanding as it did in the 1,000 years of Muslim religious preeminency. Islam has virtually no support in the West. It has virtually no support. Buddhism and Hinduism, or what Western intellectuals think is Buddhism and Hinduism, sometimes it really isn't that, have a certain amount of intellectual credibility. Islam does not, and it is not respected in the West. We feel Islam as a religion should be respected. We feel it is a great religion, but it is not. So Islam needs to get back to basics in respecting tolerance and being a force for intellectual enlightenment. It needs to get back to its basics as a force for social justice. A major issue in Islam is its treatment of women. And we've just got to say some things that probably aren't going to please some people. We think there are major issues in the treatment of women in Islam. And it's not at all clear that that is quote-unquote pure Islam, the exact details of which need to be sorted out. But that is a big problem if Islam wants to make further progress in the world. As we look into the future, the crisis in the world is deepening. The environment is going further downhill. The war in Ukraine is plunging things into a further level of chaos. America internally is a study in disaster, so the American imperialism is clearly not in good shape. No, it is not. So the moral message of Islam has great value, and ultimately the major religions need to come together on common values. This discussion of Islam is to try to present how Islam could play a positive role. In future lectures, we can discuss issues such as the environment and other issues where the world needs to come together. But this is a historical lecture which we hope will add to people's understanding, and we urge you to come to our website to see documentation that we have presented. That's the end of this lecture.